Good morning. We welcome you again to another Beth Live outside the building, and we're on the podcast this morning. We appreciate all of you. I see you already coming in, Linda and Corliss, and certainly we're glad to have everybody coming in to join us in our podcast today. We want to just remind you that God is still on the throne and God is still good. And Gene and Rita, thank y'all so much for coming in. And that's more join us this morning. We certainly, we appreciate you being part of this. Just continue to pray for us and for the Lord to work in us as a church, even during times when we may not be able to be at the facility, but there's still ministry we can do through our personal. We are the church. We don't go to church, but we are the church. I just want to remind you that this morning. So to all the best family, friends, and neighbors, let's get started on another Sunday morning with our worship. Maxine, we see you coming in, and Carla and Rita. All right. Let's get started with prayer this morning, and then we are going to hear a word from Cheryl this morning. Cheryl, the closer Williams, is going to be sharing with us this morning. So be in prayer for her. But let's pray now before we get started. Father, we are so amazed of the kind of God you are, and we humbly submit ourselves in worship to the best of our ability. There's no way we can worship you in within our bodies unless we give you the kind of worship that you want. As long as we're imperfect human beings on earth until you're coming, we won't be able to worship you like you deserve to be worshiped. But we look forward to that day when we'll be able to truly worship you like you deserve. But until then, God, we just want to say thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you, God, even for our lives, for we realize there are so many who have lost their lives this year, and so many have gone home to be with you. So many of our fellow saints, God, and neighbors. So we just thank you, God, for another day of life. The fact that you allowed us to wake up this morning means you still have work and ministry and purpose for our lives. This morning, God, as Cheryl Sher speak through her to us and give us insight into what you would have us to do today and the number of days that you would have us to continue to be upon this earth so we can properly follow you and serve the world that you put us in and keep in step with the purpose and giftings that you've given us. So we're praying for that today. And God, just speak to us because we need to hear from you. God, we pray to those this morning that may have illnesses or sicknesses, whatever there may be. And we just pray, God, that you would be with them in a healing way and hold them up, God, and you're a miracle worker. We believe that. So just touch and move in the way that you can and only you can. And just be there with all your people. We thank you so much for the peace that you allow us to have when our minds are on you and knowing that you hold the whole world is in your hand and you're sovereign and you're sovereignly in control. So we can have peace knowing that the God, our Father who loves us, has everything under his control. So we thank you for that. Now we just ask you, like I said, again, to bless this time together. And God, whatever you do for us in these moments together, in this podcast gathering. Help it to equip us that as we go through the upcoming week, we can properly glorify you. And God, do those things that will make the world a better place. So thank you again. Bless you. Bless everybody that's listening this morning. And God, just bless our world and our country in difficult times. But you've always been a great God, and your glory is seen greatest in difficult times. So now that we go in, we just ask you to be with us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. Amen. Good to see and hear you all are present with us on this morning. And that we're still together as a family. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and get started into our word this morning. I'm going to try to be as calm as possible because Gavriella's been playing at worship all through this house this morning. So I'm going to try to come and try to bring a word this morning. Jeremiah, I believe, 17 is where we're going to look this morning. Jeremiah 17. Amen. Thank you all for being on the line this morning. Jeremiah 17, we'll start at verse 5. Look at that, verse 5 through 8. Amen. If you can hear me, Gav, give me a thumbs up. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. I think I'm reading from the New King James Version. We'll start right there. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man whose trust in man. I'm sorry, I'm going to say that again. Cursed is the man whose trust in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Verse 7, blessed is the man whose trust in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Amen. We've been blessed by the reading of God's word on this morning, Jeremiah 17, if you have that, 5 through 8. Our topic, if we had to give us a topic this morning, would be fruit from a strange place. Fruit from a strange place. We are going to let you guys in on a little secret. This is our, as we're preparing for our women's conference, our virtual women's conference for September, we're going to give y'all a little sneak preview of what that topic and what the spirit of that conference will look like in September, if the Lord say the same. Jeremiah 17, fruit from a strange place. This is a strange place that we're going to look at today, but yet we will see people bearing fruit. So we'll give you a sneak preview of our women's conference today. Storyline, if you get a chance to read Jeremiah, one of my favorite prophets, if you get a chance to read the storyline of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is talking to Israel, and he is always frustrated with them and weeping with them. So the main characters in this in these stories are Jeremiah, Israel, and God. And it's a constant battle because God's agenda is for them to love him with their whole hearts, with their whole minds, and with all of their strength. That is what God is after. But seems like the children of Israel struggle with that. And so he, if you get a chance to read 16 and 17 all, God begins to say to Jeremiah, I'm going to restore Israel, but the first thing I've got to do before I restore them is deal with their sin. I got to deal with their punishment first. Then I'm going to restore them, but first I got to give them double for their iniquities. My God. And so you see in chapter 16 where God's wrath is kindled like fire against the children of Israel. And he says that when I am done dealing with them, they will know my name. I will cause them once more to know that I am God. And so you get a chance to read all of that. But then he says, let me share this with you, Jeremiah. In verse 5, he says, cursed is the man, my God. This is a prophetic force from God. He is saying, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Read that whole verse, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. And so he talks about right here, curse, powerful word. I had to research that a little bit because I wanted to see, we've used curse so many ways. And so I want to make sure I was clear in what God was saying. And in the Hebrew, curse means a roar, A-R-O-Y. And what it means is curse meant, really, it was not an action word, but it was a result of what would happen. What I mean by that is he was saying to them, cursed really meant the removal of the influence of God. Okay, this is a renouncement of God. If you are cursed, that means you have no protective covering. Okay, he says you have removed the influence. You have caused me to remove the influence of God from your life. The idea behind this word aurora is that God is not present in the situation. So curse is, he says, curse is the man who trusts in man. Wait a minute. I am not in that equation. I am not present. It is foolish, he's saying, to trust mere humans. As a result of trusting in man, here it is, you're cursed. You have no protective covering. It is foolish, it says here, to trust human wisdom. I think it says human, what? Strength. If you make flesh your strength, it says, and your heart departs from the Lord, cursed. If you trust your own righteousness, cursed. If you are impressed with your own intelligence, he said, you're cursed. If you trust in self, if you trust in man, he says, you will always get, did y'all see that? The short end of the stick. It is folly to be self-reliant and self dependent. We have this fallacy. We have this fallacy that we can do it on our own. We have this fallacy that we have wisdom. And he's saying right here, if you take that position where you have turned your heart from God, you can do it in your own strength. He says you have set God aside like a dead weight. Do y'all see that? His heart is departed from the Lord. He says you have considered God as a non-issue. If you are operating in flesh and trusting in yourself and in another mere human being, he says you lack relationship and fellowship with God. He says, but let me tell you what happens. Here's the result. If you decide to take that position where you trust in man, trust in man's strength, your heart departed from me. Here's the results. You will be like a shrub in the desert. And I looked up a little shrub. Shrub is small. You will be small in the desert where nothing grows there. It'll be a miserable place. He said, don't get a canopy, get a tent, because you're going to set up residence in a dry and in a parched place. You're going to be a bush in a wasteland. You're going to have barren ground. You are going to be in a useless place. If you did choose to operate in a place where God is not in the equation, he says, be known that you will wither. Be it known unto you, you will wither in this place like a shrub. He says, if you keep reading there, he says, they won't even see. The shrub won't even see good, won't even recognize prosperity for a long time. The harsh weather will come, and guess what's going to happen? It will wither up and dry. He said, go ahead, call Southwest, get you a one-way ticket, because you will be in this place and you will not survive. You will not recover. And God says, in a dry place, you're unproductive. It is barren and you produce nothing. Cursed, 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 cursed. When our strength lies in the flesh. When our strength is all about our strength and our flesh, he says you're on a venture without God. If you have your own human initiative, he says you're basically counting on your flesh to pull you through. Has anybody ever counted on flesh to pull them through? He said, cursed is that man. Well, let's look at the contrast. Then it says in verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree. Wait a minute. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Had to look that up too. Greek, makarios. Makarios. It's Greek for happy or blissful. But it's like this. It is a self-contained place. It is independent of circumstances. You are blessed. You are favored. You are you have an impartation from God of divine favor. Blessed. That's what he's saying. Blessed. But it's independent of circumstances. You're blessed irregardless of what's going on around you. Happy, blissful. He says you have imparted. You have understand God's impartation in your life. The reason you're blessed is not because of you, but because of the relationship, the covenant relationship that you have with God. And God says, when I say you're blessed, is the man who trusts in the Lord, he's saying, I am giving you, I'm endowing you with power to succeed. I'm endowing you with power to be prosperous. And then when you hear the word blessed, since it's independent of circumstances, it means that you see the care of God threaded through your life. You see him in every instance caring for you in the details of your life. Doesn't mean the drought is not happening. But it means that you see his care all through the threads of your life. He has allowed you to see that. Blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. Blessed is this man who makes God their confidence. Blessed is this man who makes God their reality. Blessed is this man who lives in him, who abides in him, who sticks with God, who rests in the fact that God loves them. Blessed is this man. Blessed is the one who knows that God is trustworthy. Blessed is the one who believes that God's word can be trusted, that God's word can be counted on. He said, blessed is this one. Blessed is this one. Blessed is this one whose hope is the Lord. He draws his hope, his security, his safety, his joy, his refreshment, his renewal, his hope from the Lord. It's a solid faith. It's a secure relationship. But before you go to the A part, the B part, he says, make sure you understand you've got to first hope in the Lord. It's a prerequisite before you get to the tree part. You've got to take care of verse 7 before you get to verse 8. Trusting in him is a prerequisite. It's required before you can stand like a tree. Well, this trust we're talking about this morning implies to me submission. And I had to struggle with that. I had to look at that. Because sometimes I want to plan it and I want to do what's best for my finite wisdom. I don't know about anybody else, but I want to plan it and I want to do it in my, and so it implies submission. I've got to give my trust. I've got to give my heart to the Father. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this today, and I struggled with this word because I was getting ready to preach something else, but guess what? Felt led to go ahead and give you a sneak preview of the conference. I was beginning to study, and I began to hear the Holy Spirit saying, this part will hinder a believer's life. Until we get this, until we learn this, it will always hinder what God wants to do in our life. It will always hinder what he wants to accomplish. We have got to get this trust part right. Can we trust God with our story? Can we trust God with our today? Will we trust God with our tomorrows? And can we trust God when it doesn't make sense? We got to get this trust. We got to learn this trust part. As I was studying, I wrote this down. It just hit me. And I said, ooh, God, because oftentimes we'll give our trust and our heart to a man before we give it to you. And I had to write this down. Said, don't give the trust that belongs to God to a man. Okay. You missed it. Don't give the trust that belongs to God to a human. Well, look at verse 8. Verse 8, we see this tree. Ah, God. Verse 7, we had to trust him. Our hope was in him. Verse 7 says, you'll be like a tree planted by the waters. It's strategically positioned. It stretches out its roots and it successfully stands. This tree, you see, is doing well by the river. Look how it's looking. It's doing well by the river. It spreads out its roots by the river and it will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. And will not be anxious in the year of drought. Let's talk about that. It sends out its root. I had to kind of research that tree thing a little bit because I wanted to understand the roots of the tree. And what happens is you'll notice if you see the bottom of a tree, sometimes the roots spread way out. They reach a wider area. They seek out water. Okay. I was walking where I walk in the park, and I was walking through yesterday and the Holy Spirit was just showing me. I was watching how the trees that were closest to the bank, the trees that were closest to the water, I saw the green leaves. Matter of fact, I stopped and got under one tree. It had cool breeze. It had good shade. But guess what? It stretched out. You saw the roots of the tree extend out, stretch out toward the water. The tree on purpose seems to connect to what gives it life. Okay. The tree seemed to extend itself to what gives it sustenance, what gives it refreshing. The roots themselves direct themselves toward life. Okay, you missed it. Toward water. The roots were stretching so far out from the tree until as I began to research and looked at it yesterday, I said they went in the direction of the water. The roots went in the direction of the water. They had sun, they had soil, but they needed water. And I went back to John 4, you know I did. When Jesus with the woman of Samaria, and I remember the story when he says, the water that I'm offering, if you drink from that water, it's living water, you'll never thirst again. But what you're drinking out of now, you'll always come back because it'll never be enough. Then I went to Jeremiah 17 and 13, and he says, I'm the fountain of living water. This is when God was frustrated. He said, I'm the fountain of living water. I spring forth living water, yet my people have forsaken me to go after a dry thing. They're going after a God that can't do them no good. It's a dry place. I'm living water and they have forsaken me to go after something dry. Lord have mercy. Have you ever done that? But look at this. I think this happened at our house too. I was going to ask the pastor. I think this happened at our old house too. Let me tell you, because it happened at Sheila's house. I talked to Sheila about this. This happened at her house, I think last year. When the tree gets desperate for water, it will extend its roots out so far until it will take extreme measures to get to water. What I mean by that is, one time Sheila said she couldn't flush her toilet and the toilet wasn't working. And I think it happened at our old house. We had the plunger and we was trying to get and the water wouldn't work. Then one time, I think we saw some stuff coming through the toilet. It was a tree. It was roots. She said it happened to her. She had to call Junior to come over to take care of that. The tree was so desperate for water that the roots began to clog up the pipes. Are you hearing me? The sewer lines are filled with roots because the tree will do whatever necessary to stay connected to life. Okay, you missed it. The tree will stay connected to what gives it its life. It's amazing how in nature, everything that God created stays connected to God but man. Oh my God, there's some reason we think we can trust in our own ability and make it and live and be sustained. But the tree said, no, not me. I'm going to dig my deep sin root and I'm going to continue to stretch out my roots. One version says, shoot forth my roots in the direction of water so that I can be sustained. Well, you saw where it said about the heat right there on the tree. The tree right here says that when the heat comes, the tree doesn't fear. Wait a minute. So the tree knows that heat is coming. Okay. The tree knows that summer conditions are coming. Look at verse 8. But it does not fear when the heat comes. Okay, you missed it. Look at the word when. When the heat comes. It didn't say if, but it will not fear when the heat comes. The tree knows that the heat is coming, but it's cool. Did y'all see that? It does not fear, not if, but when. The green leaves on the tree, they don't drop off, they don't fall off, they don't turn brown, they don't wither. How is it in the middle of a parched place, in the middle of a drought, can a tree still have green leaves? It's unmoved by the heat. It seems unbothered by the heat. It seems undisturbed by the heat. It almost says like this. The sound like the tree is saying, I'ma do what I was doing before the heat came. I was trusting God before the heat came, and I'ma trust God in the heat. Y'all missed it. Here it is. He's saying, I'ma stretch forth my roots into the water just like I did before. I'm gonna stay connected to what gives me life, the source of my life. He's the strength of my life. Somebody today, I'm telling you, if we got to get this tree mentality, we've got to get this tree mentality that I'm going to stay connected to. Because guess what? Look at what happens to the tree. It does not even sustain any damage. Okay. In a drought, it is the most scorching situation you can be in. But the tree sustains no damage. It's moistens at the root and it stays green. As I was reading it, I felt quiet. I said, I felt like his spirit was quieted. He's saying, this man is like this tree. You are firmly fixed and your spirit is quiet. Oh, yeah, I got convicted right there. Because guess what? Sometimes when I'm a little anxious, my spirit's not quiet. And I had to look at that and say, wow, he's fixed. The tree is planted and it is not fearful. Look at the next part. And it will not be anxious. In the year of drought, it has no worries in the drought. In a year, that is months. That is months of a drought, and the tree stays consistent. Look at that. I was looking at that the other day because we deal with a lot where I serve. We deal a lot with anxiety. And when you live in a place of persistent worry and persistent uneasiness and nervousness and emotional distress, it will cause you, if you are not careful, to have a panic attack. It will cause you to have an anxiety attack, persistent worry, persistent nervousness, persistent uneasiness, emotional distress, silent worry will cause you to have an attack. And I had to say, look at this tree. In the middle of this drought, it says it's gone in a year of drought. I mean, months of this drought, long months of this drought, the tree stays serene and calm. The person stays serene and calm through the drought. And I had to say, who do you trust to stand for the long haul? This tree is standing for the long months of the drought. This tree is sufficiently protected against the drought. Who protects the tree from the drought? It's flourishing in a drought. There is no rain. It hasn't seen rain in a long time, but it is not sweating. It is calm, cool, and collected. The leaves are green. That's visible. We can see that. It said it has no fear. That's visible. We can see that. It's not anxious. It's not anxiety. It's not experiencing anxiety. That's visible. If we can visibly, am I saying it right? Visibly. If we can visibly see leaves, no fear, no anxiety, that must mean something invisible is going on the inside. Okay. We can tangibly see leaves, no fear, no anxiety. Seems like it's cool. Clearly something intangible is going on. When we operate in this place where we can, where people can see visibly that we are no fear, we have no anxiety, we have green leaves, it must be a sign that there is utter dependence on the Father. Mm-hmm. We have determined in our spirit that He will sustain me in every instance of my life. You can't see it, but guess what? There's something invisible going on that has given me resolve about the situation. The tree says, I know what I believe, and I know in whom I believe. I know who I trust. But guess what? It would be enough if the tree had green leaves. It would be enough for me to child just to see that, you know what? It had no fear. It would be enough for me to see that, you know what? It didn't even become anxious. But the next part, bless my socks off. Not only does it have green leaves, no fear, no anxiety, but it does not cease to yield fruit. My God, who yields fruit in the middle of a drought? Who does that? Who produces fruit? Who bears fruit in the middle of a drought? Who gains when they should be losing? I don't understand. That's what the conference is all about. We're going to see a bunch of women that's going to show up on the conference, and they're going to share testimonies of how when I was in my darkest place, it was my lightest place. When it was the worst of times, it was still the best of times. I don't know how they're going to explain it to you, but I want you to see at the conference, and I want you to see today, thank you, Holy Spirit, that God does not waste a drought. He will get fruit from a strange place. Yeah. In the middle of a drought, not only does a tree have leaves, but guess what? It is a useful tree. It is producing in the middle of a drought. I could see it if maybe when the drought was over. Okay. When the rain came and the weather got cooler, the heat left. But right here in the middle, that's what we did at Bethsaida. Right in the middle of a drought. The pastor say we got to regroup. And so we had to pivot in the middle of a drought. What are we going to do? We're going to have drive-in church. We're going to have protocols and things put in place. We had to make a pivot quickly so we didn't miss the drought. Y'all missed it. We had to still bear fruit in a strange place. And so we begin to get creative and have outside church, church on the playground, praising and proclaiming on the playground. Guess what? Let's not miss this drought experience. We're not going to wait till after the battle is over. We're going to shout now. Let me tell you what happened. In this story, I'll share one with you. In this story of a lady that's going to speak at the conference, she's saying in the middle of her drought experience of not being able to leave home and do things she'd like to do, seeing neighbors across the street, waving at neighbors across the street as they water the grass and different things and doing 6 feet distancing and all that, she started a Bible study. In the middle, y'all missed it. In the middle of a drought, this woman has started a neighborhood Bible study. I'm trying to get you to understand the tree can make shade, the tree can cool and give you a breeze, but the end result is if a tree can bear fruit, it's a productive tree. It's a useful tree. That's what the process was all about. It was always about the fruit. This tree, if you read verse 8, it says that this tree never quits. It never ceases. It never stops doing what a tree does. Okay, let me say it to you a different way. A believer is always expected to produce fruit. Okay. A believer is always expected in some form or facet to produce some kind of fruit. Lady said the other day, and you will meet her on the conference, on the virtual conference when we have the meeting. She said, I had rheumatoid arthritis, and they told me all the things I couldn't do. They told me all the things I wouldn't be able to do, all the things that was wrong. So I went to a little fitness training. I started trying to work out and do different things. She said, but you know what I found out, Miss Williams? Nobody could do modifications. Nobody could meet me where I was because the fitness trainer was doing exercises that I couldn't do because I had what? Limitations. So she said, guess what? In her spirit, something rose up. So now she has her own fitness business called RA. Y'all missed it. Rheumatoid arthritis. And she specializes with women who have rheumatoid or who've had strokes and different things that have limitations. She'll be speaking on the conference about how God took her dry place and she was able to bear fruit. And now she has classes on weekends and during the week, she is ministering virtually. Come on, did y'all catch that? Ministering virtually to people in their living room. Bearing fruit. Believers, it's always been a part of God's plan that we bear fruit. Let me go to John right quick. John. I think John tells us that. Here it is. There is this tree says, I intentionally stay connected to God. I intentionally abide in him. Because why? He says what in 5? I am the vine. Is that what it says? You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. And I love verse 8 that says, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciple. So here it is. The work that was being done on the inside of the tree is now visible on the outside of the tree. Let me say it to you differently. The work that God does on the inside of us is to become evident on the outside of us. There ought to be an outward manifestation of what God is doing on the inside. The tree says, drought come, drought go. I'm going to still do what a tree is designed to do. I'm still going to give shade. I'm still going to have green leaves. I'm not going to be stressed out, but I'm going to do what? Produce fruit. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. If Christ's life is being replicated in our lives, a different way, his life is our life. It's in our life. There will always be what? Reproduction. I'm concerned about the believer who's got Christ's life being replicated in their life and there are no fruit. Mm-hmm. Because the sign of reproduction is that there is a sign of a relationship. It is a sign that we are connected. Okay, let me say it to you a different way. You can't manufacture this. You can't fake this. You can't muster it up. Either you have relationship with the vine or we don't. Either we are connected to the Father or we are not. But if we are connected to him, he will find a way to bear fruit, to bring fruit, to produce fruit out of our lives. It's a strange place. I was looking at Gail's friend the other day. Here she is on Saturday nights, teenager, having a Bible study for teenagers virtually on the Zoom. If you got to be stuck at home, I guess she said, Lord, give me something to do. And here this 16-year-old is having a virtual Bible study on Saturday nights for teenagers to join in and hear the word of God producing fruit. In a dry place, in a strange place. If I have to be at home, let me do what God put in me to do. I love this tree. I love this tree because it produces something. I do not want to live this life. And I know some of you on this line are saying, live this whole life, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and not contribute something to the world. Who wants to live like that? Sitting on your porch, rocking in your rocking chair, and haven't contributed anything to this world. We've got to get this trust thing right. It starts out talking about blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. If you get this trust thing right, then guess what? You'll be like a tree planted by the river. Your roots will go deep in the streams. You won't have to fear. You won't be anxious. Your leaves stay green and you produce something. That says to me, trust in God, trust in the Lord benefits everything. It benefits everybody in my house if I trust him. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it that we're still holding on to a little bit and not giving our total trust to the Father? Trust in the Lord benefits those around you. Who is not making God their hope? Oh, I got convicted as I was reading this thing. I said, ooh, that's good, Father. Have I made you my hope? Do I walk in ease like the tree? Do I enjoy serenity of mind? Do I claim that scripture that I have peace that surpasses all understanding? Do I? It's a good scripture, but sometimes we can know more than we live. I know a whole lot of scriptures. I said, but is it evident in my life, like the tree? Is it evident that I'm not fearful? Is it evident that I'm not anxious? Do I have green leaves? Are others able to be cooled and influenced by the breeze that I bring? Do I bring a calmness to people because I'm calm? And do I bear fruit even in a strange place? We've seen God on the news and we've had phone calls. I just shared two with you right there, a Bible study and the fitness lady, who God has given insight. He's given creative ideas. He's given wisdom. We've got teachers who are saying, you know what? Since I can't be in the classroom, I don't feel safe, I don't feel comfortable, what I'm going to do is start a tutoring ministry. Y'all missed it. A tutoring ministry. And I'm going to tutor children online. And parents have said, I'll sign up my child. Teachers have been, God has given creative wisdom with technology like we've never seen. We have seen fruit in strange places. We've seen God do things that have been useful to him and for his glory. Well, one more before we get ready to close out. I saw something else strange. You know, I think it was Galatians 3. It says, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Jesus was in a strange place. He became sin. Guess what? For us. He was cursed, redeemed, and because, so we could be redeemed from the curse. He became a curse in a strange place on a tree. His life for my life, his life for your life, so that we could have rest, so we could have safety and security and satisfaction. He went through all of that. It was a strange place for him. But in the middle of a strange place, Calvary, guess what, was life. There was death, but it was life. It was dark, but it was light. What in the world is God saying to us today? He says, I'm trying to settle you. I want to nourish you to a point where you understand you will blossom even in a strange, uncomfortable, hard place. If Jesus had not experienced the hard, stressful, uncomfortable place in the garden before he got to the tree, he says, you know what? If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way that I could be in your will, Father, and not have to go this way, he said, show me that plan. And he came back to talk to his friends, to get strength from his friends. Uh-oh. What do we say about cursed is the one who, what? Trust in man, came back to his friends, and his friends were asleep. Went back to the garden. Big drops of blood, sweat. His friends were asleep. He goes back to them, and wow, they sleep. He said, can you not watch with me for 1 hour? Man, I told you, is frail. Man is finicky. They'll go so far. Sometimes they won't go the long haul. Not because they're mean. They're well-intended. They're just human. They're just frail. Don't blame them. They're human. They're frail. Sometimes they get tired along the way. Sometimes the drought gets too hard for them. That's why he says you can't put your trust in man's wisdom, in man's strength. Because guess what? Their pride will bring them down. Their wisdom will bring them down. Their intelligence, all their degrees. He says, trust in the Lord, who you know you can count on. When Jesus got his strength in the garden, he came back to the disciples and they were still asleep. What does he say? Sleep on. Because he said, I got my strength now. Because he got to a point where he says, not my will, but your will be done. And if he had not said that, what would our story look like today? That's why I can trust him with my storyline. Can you trust God with your narrative, with your today, with your tomorrows, with what your purpose is, his plan? If he had not said, be it unto me according to your will, where would our story have ended? But because he was willing to endure the drought, the hard place, and guess what? Out of that came what? All of us, we can now walk in the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of holiness. We can bear fruit for his kingdom and for his glory. And now, because he rose on the third day, all power was in his hand, God began to bear fruit through Jesus' life, because by him lifting up his hands, he said, I will draw all men unto me. So it was necessary that he go that route to draw us unto himself. That was bearing fruit for the kingdom. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who does that in the middle of his own pain, in a hard place, in a drought? His leaves stayed green. He got to a place where he says, God, I'm trusting you. It's an uncomfortable place. I'm separated from you for the first time. But guess what? It's a place that I trust. I've been here before. I've seen you come through time and time again. My Father can be trusted. I'm counting on you, Father. And guess what? He gave up the ghost. And then he grows on the third day with all power. And life was never the same. And that's what it is. He showed us how to bear fruit in a hard place, in what appeared to be a dry place. So my word for us, as Gabriella's coming, my word for us this day is, where do I need to give my trust? Who do I need to give my trust? Because the blessing didn't come, the fruit didn't come until the trust came first. The trust had to come first. My confidence in him had to be first before I could what? Be the tree by the water that sends out its roots. It didn't fear when the heat came. Didn't even seem bothered by the heat. Didn't even seem worried. Somebody gonna release worry today. Somebody gonna go to bed tonight. Release the worry. And he says, and you will never cease, you'll never fail to bear fruit. What is it right now that God is calling you to do? Not later, not months down the road, but now. Yes, the word of God today says you are able to bear fruit now. And you will have enough substance to endure the long months. I'll be able to give you enough of what you need to succeed, to prosper in the long months to come. Why? Just because you gave me your trust. Just because you knew, you realized that I was for you. And if I am for you, I'm more than this whole world against you. Somebody ought to say it out loud, God is for me. He is for me. He is for my success. He wants me to have a W and not an L. W mean win, y'all. That's basketball talk. He wants me to have a W. He doesn't get glory out of me getting an L. He wants me to have a W. So guess what? I have to give, literally, intentionally give my trust, my whole heart to him. And in the middle of a drought, God's been speaking to somebody about something he wants you to do. You've been saying, well, I'll do it afterwards. I'll write the book later on. I'll do it later on. I just don't know. I'll get to it later. Let me tell you about Loretta. Y'all know Loretta. Well, some of y'all know Loretta. What Loretta did was, she's at home on virtual, being protected from COVID. But guess what? She got to come to where I work on a virtual call. And guess what? Sung Amazing Grace to the whole world. Okay, y'all missed it. We have programs in Texas, but we have programs international in Guatemala, in Africa, all over the world. She's been able to bear fruit by sitting in her living room, in her studio, in her house. She sung Amazing Grace, and it went international. What kind of God is this? She says, I didn't know how God was going to use that. She retired and she's been saying what God's going to do with my life now. I've still got breath in my body. God's going to use me. I don't know how. But guess what? On top of that, because she sung national, not only nationwide, but international, the people that run a retirement home, an upscale retirement home here in Dallas, heard Loretta sing Amazing Grace. And the chaplain said, when COVID is over, can she come by and do a worship experience for the residents here? We have older residents that cannot get out this building. Can she come after COVID and do this? Guess what? God said not so. We're not going to wait till after COVID. They have arranged a virtual. Oh, okay, y'all missed it. They have arranged a way that they put glass in the building, plastic in the building, where Loretta will be able to go to the facility. They won't be able to touch her. She won't be able to touch them, but they have a glass encased protection for her to sing on a baby grand piano. Okay, somebody should have got happy. On a brand new baby grand piano that they have that nobody's ever used, she'll be able to go there and do a concert for the people in the high-rise facility. Wow. Bearing fruit. Not after, not post, but right now. In the drought, the tree was able to say, I'm going to do what I did yesterday before the heat came. I was a tree yesterday. I was bearing fruit yesterday. I wasn't stressed yesterday. I wasn't fearful. I wasn't anxious. And today, I got the same God, the same trust. So I'm going to watch him use me to bear fruit in this season.
Amen. And we thank Cheryl for that powerful word, clear and a clear introduction to what's going to be going on and what God is about to do at the Women's Conference. Then we're going to have a selection. As the selection comes, the musical selection, if you're out there, we ask that you meditate upon God, what God would have you to do. And also, if you don't know Christ, it's a good time to come to know him. As Cheryl said in the sermon, he died for us. He gave his life for us on Calvary's cross. So if you don't know Christ and would like to come to know him, we invite you to meditate upon it as the song is played. And also, we will just contact us if you need to on our question. I think you have a place for questions, and we'll try to get back with you. If not, you can always contact us at 903-915-0865. All right, now we're ready to hear in music and glorify God in a song.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much again for joining us. Let's remember to pray for all those families that have been impacted by the hurricane in Louisiana and parts of Texas and throughout our country. So many people lost their homes and some of their livelihoods and some of their goods. So let's just pray for them that God will restore everything that the enemy has taken and that they'll be able to find shelter and help in this time of transition. Certainly any of us can be in that condition. So let's be in prayer for them. So thank you so much again for joining the podcast. We hopefully share with you again in the podcast gathering up on next week, but also we're hoping to have our gathering on the campus next week if the weather and everything is okay. So we'll have our outdoor gathering next week. We're looking forward to that on the first Sunday where we can share in the Lord's table if everything stays as in a way that we can have it safely. So just be praying for us for that. We're going to try because the fact that having physical community is important to some, and we want to have it, try to have it at least a couple of times a month. So, and we're going to try to do that on first Sunday and maybe the third. We'll see how that works and or even more if the Lord allows. So just be praying for that. Continue to pray for one another and thank God that he's a good God and he's been there for us through this whole difficult time that we are going through. Pray for the family and the cities that have been impacted by shootings, and pray for justice to be done in all of those situations. Listen, so again, thank you so much for joining us. We know you could have joined so many other places. Now, we also want you to pray for the, and I'm going to pray before we get off and before we dismiss, for those students that have went back to college or on their way back to college. So we're going to pray for them, and then we'll sign off for today. Father God, again, we thank you so much for the word that came from Cheryl today, powerful word. And we pray for that conference, that it will be a fruitful conference for everybody that's able to attend virtually. Just we pray that you would just bless it amazingly. Thank you for her leadership and all the things that she do for our local body, especially for the women, but also for us guys. So we thank you so much for her and the gift that you've given our church through her. We pray, God, for all of our students, not only our college students, but we want to pray for our college students, firstly, that went back to college, are on their way back, and just pray for that they would have a successful semester. If those that are doing it online or remote, we pray that they'll be able to transition to that remote kind of learning without losing any of their enthusiasm or their ability to grasp their subjects. So we pray that you would help them in that way. And then also for our students who are at school, whether it's elementary or pre-elementary or junior high or high school students who also are going through some of the same thing. Just be with them. We know this is that online learning and transitioning back and forth, and it's just difficult time for them, but don't let it, we pray that it won't impact their ability to learn and to faithfully fulfill the purpose that you've given them. So God, just do that. Keep them safe. Give them the wisdom to stay in safe places and stick with safe activities. And so we just pray God's grace and God blessing over their life. Thank you again for all you do, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much.